this tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. The Canby City Council will on Wednesday hear an appeal by AT&T to build a 130-foot cell tower next to the Pacific Pride fueling station just off Highway 99E. The project, which was designed to resemble a fir tree, was denied by the Planning Commission 5-2 on August 26th. Planning commissioners were skeptical of AT&T's proposed monopole, or monofir, for a variety of reasons, including its proximity to existing buildings, one of which is a commercial fuel station, and the possible availability of other more suitable properties within their targeted service area. The Canby's planning staff had recommended approval of the project. In their appeal, the City Council attorneys representing AT&T did not mince words in identifying the numerous errors they feel the Planning Commission made in denying their project. They claim commissioners did not correctly interpret the requirements of the Canby Municipal Code and, quote, did not observe the precepts of good planning, end quote. In addressing the specific concern with the 130-foot pole's proximity to Pacific Pride Fueling Station, AT&T pointed out that this danger, if indeed it is a valid concern, would exist regardless of where the project is sited. The commissioners failed to recognize that the proposed facility, just like nearly every other wireless facility compound, will contain a backup generator with fuel storage, usually diesel or propane. AT&T's attorneys wrote, "So, no matter where the facility is located, flammable material will be stored within the compound next to the tower." They go on to argue that siting of large oil tanks in such proximity to a major highway presents more of a potential safety hazard than the siting of a wireless facility. The choice facing the council on Wednesday night will be whether to affirm the Planning Commission's decision and deny AT&T's request, or overturn the Planning Commission's decision and approve the project. A third possibility is that they could remand the case back to the Planning Commission for a new hearing. But if you ask me, Frankie's making me say this, I'm sorry, that would just be barking up the wrong tree. Again, I apologize. The Canby City Council meeting will meet at 7 p.m. Wednesday night at the Canby Civic Building. The meeting will also be broadcast live on Local Access Channel 5 and YouTube by CTV. The city of Canby bid a fond farewell to its city administrator this week. More on that later in this episode. But it's not the only major office they've replaced in recent weeks. They also have a new city recorder, Melissa Bissett, whose first meeting was earlier this month. Melissa comes to the city of Canby from McMinnville, where she had served as city recorder for 3 years, whereas the new city administrator, Scott McClure, was hired away from the city of Monmouth, where he had served for 12 years. The quote-unquote poaching has evidently not gone unnoticed and was the cause of some lighthearted ribbing during a recent League of Oregon Cities conference attended by Mayor Brian Hodson and several Canby City councilors, along with municipal officials representing cities all over the state.
So I heard at the League of Oregon Cities conference, I heard from...
about that?
I did.
The mayor of McMinnville
and the mayor of Monmouth.
And the mayor of Monmouth were... Both unhappy with...
We were persona non grata.
As we were walking down the halls, people started grabbing their staff.
Here comes Canby, hide your staff. Yes, so...
Clackamas Community College will host a Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics talk this week featuring a diverse panel of technologists from Intel. Industrial engineer Alex Berry will lead the discussion along with a panel including coders, business analysts, project managers, manufacturers, and more, who will share the paths that they took to obtain their careers. The panel will help the audience expand their view of STEM, their careers, and their education. The presenters have a passion for diversifying what they call the local STEM pipeline, meaning the education pathway for students seeking careers in the STEM field. The pipeline is a key component of workplace diversity and workforce development used to ensure that qualified candidates fill scientific and technical positions. The STEM talk will take place in Gregory Forum on the Oregon City campus, 19600 Malala Avenue, from 5 to 6 p.m. Wednesday. Guests are invited to meet and greet at 4:30 p.m. before the discussion begins. This event is free and open to the public. Speaking of Clackamas Community College, CCC's newest exhibit is now open in the Alexander Gallery, featuring the work of Kate Simmons. The exhibit, Simmer, calls attention to the cyclical nature of childhood, memory, and relationships from the perspective of a maternal lens, and features large-scale installations that reflect the body in physical and metaphorical ways. Simmer showcases approximately one dozen works constructed from materials including human hair, wool, antique objects, cast plaster, clay, and printed material that investigate the elements of time, connection to thought, and the characteristics of the material and process. Simmons is a CCC art instructor. Her work has been exhibited in several regional galleries and museums and has been supported by the Regional Arts and Culture Council and Clackamas County Arts Alliance. This exhibition is free and open to the public. An informal artist talk will be held at 2 p.m. October 23rd at the Alexander Gallery. In sports this week, the Canby Cougars football team continues the search for its elusive first win since September 2017. It was homecoming week Friday, and the Cougs hosted Lake Ridge for a hard-fought game that was close through all four quarters. Ultimately, though, the visiting Pacers came away with a win, 35-28. Sophomore quarterback Mikey Gibson continued to impress in only his second varsity start. He threw for three touchdowns to three different receivers, juniors Caden Boyd, Kyle Sander, and senior Chance Miller. The lobbed Miller was undoubtedly the most impressive, as Gibson somehow managed to stay upright long enough to make the completion with no less than three Lake Ridge defenders hanging from his torso. It was not Miller's only trip to the end zone either. Midway through the third quarter, Miller took a kick return all the way to the house to keep Canby in the game. We are disappointed in not coming up with the victory, but we are so proud of the hardworking players and staff, head coach Jimmy Joyce said afterward. We still have a long journey ahead, but we are getting better and better each week, and that is on display last night. The energy radiating from the stands at last night's game really makes Canby the best football town in Oregon. Sadly, more bad news after the game. Senior captain Kaden McMillan had limped off the stage after hurting his foot early in the second half. He told friends and supporters on Instagram Saturday that the injury had been diagnosed as a broken bone with partial ligament damage. Not quite how I expected the homecoming game to go, but hey, stuff happens, he said. I'll be back out there, head held high. Love you, team. Up next, only the number two team in the state as the Cougs travel to Lake Oswego for a Three Rivers League match against 5-1 Lakers. Canby Volleyball continued their strong play this week, beating Tigard 3-0 and narrowly falling to Oregon City 3-2. They improved their 8-5 on the season and 7-3 in league play. Their next draws will be St. Mary's Academy Monday at home, then Lake Ridge on the road Wednesday. Boys soccer captured a rare win this week in what has to be a tough season for another team transitioning to a new head coach. They beat Lake Ridge 3-1, with senior captain Ian Quinlan scoring two goals and junior Francisco Cabello adding another. senior goalkeeper Zach Heidema also had a fantastic game. They'll next face 7-3 Tualatin on the road. Girls soccer also secured their first league win of the season coming Tuesday night against St. Mary's by a score of 3-1. All three goals were scored by super soft Joey Baggio. They've got a homestand this week as they host Tualatin on Tuesday and Lake Oswego on Thursday. Both games kick off at 7 p.m.
The great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability. With a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people,
and also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more.
That's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com. You know, Halloween will be here before you know it. Heck, the decorations are already in the stores. So I've got a scary good deal for you. DirectLink is offering 50% off their blazing fast internet speeds now through All Hallows Eve. Not only will you get a sweet candy corn of a deal, but every one of their broadband connections comes with unlimited data, free. And that's no trick. So switch to DirectLink to stream and surf as much as you like. Plus, take advantage of free Wi-Fi home networking for 6 months with free installation of commercial-grade Wi-Fi equipment that ensures your entire home has the strongest, most consistent signal in every room. Talk about a treat. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop for blazing fast internet. Back, listeners. On the Can Be Conversation today, we're going to be talking about one of the weirdest things you've never heard of, or possibly you have. It's Fat Bear Week, or at least it was last week. And we're talking with Marcia Shea. She's an Aurora resident and artist, and the just a long time fat bear lover. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. That is definitely accurate. I watch them when they're skinny at the beginning months, and then I watch them gaining weight, and then eventually we celebrate the one who gained the most.
Right. So let's tell people what we're talking about. There is this webcam through explore.org.
Correct.
That is in Katmai National Park in Alaska. And it's focused on different parts of these falls where the salmon runs through.
It goes all the way from Naknek Lake, which is a large lake, and then the Brooks River is actually, I think it's under a mile long, and it connects, I forget the name of the other lake, with Naknek. And it's the only natural barrier that the salmon encounter when they're spawning. So in a natural way, all the bears gather there because the usually sockeye try to jump over the falls that point.
And these are obviously webcams to just follow the bears around. It's through explore.org. They do a bunch of different ones, but this is by far their most popular, right?
I think it is. They have one, Decora Eagles is very popular. They have some rescue farm animals that are very popular. They have guide dogs. Oh, they have almost every critter who walks or flies the earth.
Yeah.
If you're interested, you can see them 24/7.
Yeah. It's nice to hear about, you know, a webcam on the internet that we can actually talk about on this podcast. Which is family friendly, of course. So.
Yeah, this is beyond family friendly. Well, there are some hot moments that go on.
Some hot moments?
Yeah. Where I cover the eyes of my dogs.
I was going to say, Marcia, I just told you this is family friendly, so we can't go too much into
that.
Yeah,
no, I'm not going to.
But this, I just read an article about this. They get, at the peak times, like 80,000 viewers a day.
Yeah.
To this one webcam that's about the bears. How did you get into this? Where did you first find it? And for people that have never heard of this, talk a little bit about kind of the appeal of it. We've got it running now, and we'll kind of talk about that.
Yeah. I first started, my husband was, or is a, now retired, but he was a lawyer. And he became very, very ill. And so I had been a life of gallivanting around, and I became more home-focused, really tethered to home. And I had a friend that that knows I love animals. And he said, you got to check this out. And then it went on from there. I just became focused completely on bears.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I still think it sounds weird to people, right? Like, tell about the appeal. I mean, you're talking, oh, I just fell in love with this bears thing. I think right. there are people listening and they're like, what?
Right. I mean, people fall in love with soap operas, and soap operas are generally an hour long. And this is for as long as you want to put into it.
Yeah.
And also, there's Explorer runs the webcam, and then they have Discus, and so there's a chat board.
Okay.
And so community kind of comes through the chat board.
Yeah.
And people, you know, they say, isn't Otis fat, or, you know, the...
all sounds kinds so of, mean.
Yeah. Oh, no. You, the fatter, the better.
Oh, okay.
I mean, absolutely. I was just reading an article that bears do not have diabetes, and they're studying why that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them eat... what, 18,000 calories a day. They put on sometimes 5 pounds a day. Yeah. And for a human, that's not very healthy. For a bear, it's the most healthy you can be.
And the article I was reading described it as basically like a reality show.
It is a reality show.
I mean, all these bears, they have, like you were just kind of talking, they have their own names, they have their own followings.
Right.
Like
The Park Service numbers the bears, and then usually a ranger will go ahead, and if there's a bear with a short ear, they might call him, if it's a short left ear, they might call him Lefty. But really, they're only numbered.
Yeah.
The rest are nicknames.
Yeah, yeah. If we, I mean, if we didn't have this running right now looking at it, this would be like the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. Like, you are doing so great, Marcia, trying to explain this bizarre thing that you do.
Yeah.
But you have to just see it. Like, it is very compelling. You've got this beautiful scene of nature with these falls and these incredible creatures that we're seeing in their natural habitat that you would never see in real life. And it's just, it's very compelling. It's hard to not watch. So we've got a couple of bears now that are just kind of walking around in the water.
Right. I think that's 812, and then it's 480 Otis in what we call the office.
Okay, the office.
Yeah, that's where he does his business.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, the bears are just so much fun. And then they have the educational portion of it. This has just grown from being a webcam to... Let me back up. Explore spoke with a man named Roy Woods and another man named Mike Fitz, and they were rangers up there. And what they wanted to do was get into the 21st century, where perhaps a footprint is, you know, they had that old thing of take pictures and leave nothing but footprints.
Yeah.
In some places, footprints might be too much. And Katmai is one of those places that you can only get in by float plane or a water taxi. From what I've not been there. From what I understand, that it's fairly expensive to get there. So that cuts out quite a few people, just the expense of getting there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it probably, you know, might sound strange to people, but it's really no more strange than people who've formed communities around their interest in the Portland Trailblazers.
Exactly.
Or their love of playing the flute, or, you know, anything that people find interesting or enjoy doing. Are you surprised, though, by the community that's built up, the huge community that's built up all around the world?
I'm wildly surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, wildly surprised.
Sure.
I think that this is bigger than anybody ever thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, there's a couple things we do need to talk about.
Okay.
Fat Bear Week, obviously.
Oh, Fat Bear.
It wrapped up last Tuesday when people are listening to this. But tell people about what it is. It's kind of like the biggest phenomenon, or kind of like people that aren't maybe a part of this community or watch the webcam may have still heard of Fat Bear Week because it's something that it gets reported on a lot of media. That's how I first heard about this and heard about
right.
you and invited you onto the show to talk about
right.
it. So tell people what it is.
Well, as I said before, the fatter the bear, the healthier. And so to celebrate that, at first we just had Fat Bear Tuesday and figured out on a Tuesday who the fattest bear was.
And you did that once a year.
Yeah, once yeah. a year. And then the next year it became more of a seated contest.
And is it true that you said that they're healthy, but also aren't they storing up for the winter?
Right.
Okay.
If they
come to this place to eat as much salmon as they can to,
right.
to survive
they really only have like 4 months of eating.
Okay.
And one of the interesting things that I have learned is
that's what I call the holidays, 4 months of eating.
So, right. Yeah. Exactly. If the bears do not gain enough weight, they will simply not wake up from the den.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's how important it is. So they have a small amount of time that they concentrate on nothing but eating.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that dire. And the next time my wife criticized me about eating too much, I'm going to use
you
that.
You tell them, you want me to wake up in the morning?
You want me to wake up? I need to eat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just call me a fat bear.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the nicest thing you can say to a bear is, oh, what a big bottom you have. You know, those are the fatter the better.
Yeah.
And right now it's we don't have them into sows and boars, but we have just one contest. I think possibly in the future we will have sows and boars, a male and a female fat bear. The males are humongous. The females get as large as probably the biggest grizzly bear at Yellowstone.
Okay.
So they're already humongous.
Yeah.
And then the males, they literally weigh as much, some of them, as a Volkswagen Bug. Maybe that might be an exaggeration.
And about as round.
About as round.
But it's an actual contest. There's like March Madness style brackets.
Exactly.
And people bet on them. And petition for their favorites. And
right. It goes from
talk trash to the other. I mean, it's insane.
Right. And people make campaign posters for various different bears.
You are kidding me.
No, there's a ton of them. And there's so many creative people in this world. You know, I'm an artist, and so kind of expect myself to be pretty
right.
creative.
So you have a newsletter that you do?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay, I do there are a bunch of seagulls up there, and one way or another, all the seagulls became Alice.
Okay.
And there was a bear named Ted, and I mean, it was like a reference to an old film.
Yeah.
And I have made Alice into a journalist. Well, not even a journalist,
yeah,
a colorful.
I wouldn't call her a journalist.
Yeah.
So.
She's kind of a rag writer.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear. and I think
that's
a lot
greatest.
Of.
And your mother did a newsletter or a magazine writer about Hollywood.
Right. Talk about town. And so I've really enjoyed it. And I really like to exercise my sense of humor. And this thing really gets it going.
Yeah. Running out of time here, but I did want to ask you, you've told a couple stories, but maybe some of the more fun or more kind of gossipy or soap opera-y moments of your time watching the bear cams. I'd love to just hear more of the memories that stand out from your 5 years of watching these bears.
There have been a multitude of them. One of them was the first year that 775 Lefty came. And Lefty had absolutely no manners. Generally, the bears up there are really respectful about personal space.
Sure.
And their heads are on swivels continually.
Right. I mean, this is the 21st century, after all. We're not animals. I mean, they are animals.
But they have to really watch, because you really don't want to have a 900-pound bear mad at you.
Yeah, generally you don't.
This one guy came, and his number was 775, and he was usually a fall bear, but he came in the early summer, and he was stealing fish from, which is quite common, from other bears, and he did this wild thing where I called it the slap smash, where he would just put his arms and his legs straight out and just pop on areas, and these dazed salmon would come up, and he'd eat them that way. And then he went up on the lip of the falls. This was all in one night, his first night there. He went up on the lip, and usually the sows are up there fishing. And he had no idea of personal space. He was pushing everybody around. And he looked down into this area we call the jacuzzi and saw salmon swimming around in there. And he just leaped. We called him Leaping Lefty. He just leaped right in. I mean, it's a 10-foot drop.
Yeah.
You know, he just like jump pounced on that. That was probably one of my favorite things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's immortalized. If you want to go to YouTube and put in 775 Lefty's Leap, there are about 10 different videos of it for you to catch it.
I'm going to have to do that. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It just sounds like a bear whose philosophy was YOLO. You know, you just go for it.
Right.
Yeah, I admire that, actually.
Yeah, I admire him, too. He's in some of the final competition.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And he's gained a lot of weight this year. I think this is his fourth year back, I believe.
Yeah.
I consider him a little bit rough around the edges.
Uh-huh.
He's not as sophisticated as or mellow.
He's a bear of the people, though. I like that. I admire that.
480 we call the Zen Master. Uh-huh. Nothing bothers 480 Otis.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely nothing.
He's still just sitting over there.
He's very old, and we call it a salmon stupor that they eventually go into, where they've eaten so much they can't stop eating.
Yeah, that happened to me at Red Lobster one time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I call that pigs at the trough.
Cool. Well, this has been lovely to talk to you. I do want to give you a minute just to talk about your art as well. Tell me about that and where people can maybe check that out. You have a Facebook page for that as well.
Yeah, I have a Facebook page for it. It's Marcia Kearns Shea, C-H-E-Z, on Facebook.
And Marcia is M-A-R-S-H-A.
Correct.
Yes.
And I have always loved collage, even in quilting. At first I started like making weird things with fabric, and then I went to regular collage with a paper and scissors and glue. And then my brother Ben, who taught up at the Art Institute in Seattle, said, you've got to get into Photoshop. And so I got into Photoshop, and it has been a wild ride. I'm having such a good time doing it.
Yeah.
I
collage without the glue.
Collage without the glue. And I kind of marry in these weird paintings, usually classical paintings.
Yes.
And an animal head.
Yes.
with weird backgrounds, where sometimes I will work on one painting for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Which is not very long for a painter.
Yeah.
But as I'm doing it, I'm adding, you know, tea kettles and calendars and slipper feet. And I'm very careful, I will say. I'm very careful about copyrighted. And that's why I usually use classic paintings, because the public domain.
Yeah.
So, and then, anyway, I just love doing it. I crack myself up all the time. I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah. When you're describing it, I'm just realizing, like, maybe people think that you sound like a little bit of a serial killer. But
yeah, I know.
But they are really fun and just, like, whimsical and silly. Yeah. And I guess, is that really just your goal, just to make
right.
people smile?
Yeah, it's just to make people smile. And sometimes I'll tell, like, a story, mm-hmm. you know, with the painting. Yeah, they're definitely not dark.
No, yeah.
Well, sometimes there's, well, I, yeah.
Just go see it. Yeah,
yeah, you have
it's
to
very,
just see
it's,
it.
And it's very great for the online and Facebook medium. Like, it's very, they're very shareable and just kind
right.
of one of those things.
Right.
Like, they just
and at
cheer
one,
you up.
One time, I think a couple of years ago, I had a show at the Canby Library. Hmm. That was like 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And I've had shows at the Wilsonville Library, and I've shown in Lake Oswego and stuff. And people really get a kick out of my work, and I get a kick out of creating it.
Cool.
So,
yeah. Well, thanks so much, Marcia, for coming on to the Can Be Now podcast. You can, like she said, check out her art at Marcia Kearns Shea on Facebook and her newsletter following the exploits of the Katmai Bears at the Brooks River Tattler.
Yeah.
And go to explore.org to check out those bear cams. Thanks again, Marcia.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
For an ad-free version of this episode, which also features an extended version of our conversation with local artist and professional bear watcher, Marcia Kearns Shea, please consider becoming a premium member of Can Be Now Plus. You'll get some cool merch, a shout out on this program. Best of all, you'll help ensure Frankie and I can continue to bring you independent local journalism. Also, interesting conversations like these every single week. Details at canbenowpod.com/plus.
Hey Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined.
True story. When we first started the Can Be Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers, just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real live human and a creative genius who would deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. Here at Gwen's Coffee House on Wednesday night, it's basically the retirement party for Rick Robinson, city administrator, although I think he would prefer to call it informal gathering. I got that. But basically, there are a lot of folks from city government and from the community here to thank Rick and wish them the best, and we wanted to give opportunity for folks to actually do that on our podcast. So we're here with Mayor Brian Hodson, and he graciously agreed to talk to us and just wanted to give you a chance to say whatever you'd like to about Rick and hopefully keep it PC if you would, Mayor.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Frankie. It's a podcast, so I can't really say. If you could see the people here,
just describe them? Just name them one by one.
I could probably name most of them. I mean, but it's a great turnout, and whenever you have something like this, when a casual gathering, as Rick would like to say,
right?
You see the type of people that are here and the amount. It's always a testament to what somebody's done either at a company or in this case, you know, for our city. So I think it's a real testament to Rick and what he's given to the city in the 5 years he's been here.
I just came here for the coffee. I didn't even know there was something going on. So yeah.
Well, but then it's always good that you carry your microphone with you because you never know when a story is going to break.
It. Yeah.
It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
If you follow the story of how this came to be, it really is a pretty amazing story that we ended up having Rick as our city manager, and that we've been able to have him as our city manager for 5 years has been, we've been very, very blessed in that regards. So, and I have learned so much working with him and watching him do some pretty amazing things for our city. I mean, his mark is on this city for a generation between City Hall and the library and bringing that into fruition and making the Dahlia project pencil out and work. It's pretty phenomenal. You know, and the stuff that he's lined up that Scott, our new city manager, gets to implement here over the next 6 to 18 months of different projects is going to be pretty great too. So with all that though, I think it really is a testament to Rick's leadership and what he's been able to do and harness here in the city.
Yeah. Anything that you would say to him personally if you were listening to this?
Personally, oh gosh. Thank you. That I have appreciated his friendship, his mentorship. We got to often play a game called Sword and Shield for each other. He'll know what that means. I think many will.
Like Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, you know our council, and so it sometimes could be Dungeons and Dragons. But yeah, it's been, yeah, huge learning, great friendship has come out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm really gonna miss working with him.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick doesn't like these. He doesn't like being gushed over.
He's way over there. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, Brian.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Just tell me your name and your title, if you like, and anything you'd like to say to Rick Robinson.
Well, I am Greg Parker. I am on the city council. I was part of the council that hired Rick. And there are dreamers and there are doers. And Rick, thanks for being a doer.
I'm Irene Green. I'm the library director. And I just wanted to thank Rick for all his support he's done with the library over the past few years. We've come such a long way. And we really worked on changing what the library is to the community. And we couldn't have done it without all his support. Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Jim Davis, fire chief of the Canby Fire District. And I just wanted to sincerely thank Rick for what he has done for the fire service in Canby. Rick started about the same time I did, about 2 months afterwards, and there was a lot of issues going on between the fire board and the city, and Rick was a tremendous collaborator, and between Rick and I, we were able to resolve those issues, and what he has done for not only the fire department, but for the city of Canby has just been tremendous.
Well, I'm now here with someone who maybe doesn't know Rick quite as well as some of the other people, but go ahead, if you would, give me your name and anything you'd like to say to Rick and your title, if you would.
Yeah, thanks. Scott McClure. I'm the new city administrator, so I've taken over for Rick Robinson, and I can safely say that one of the reasons I wanted to be in Canby is what Rick had done. He had got so many projects going, there's so much progress in town, that it was fun to be able to follow that and basically continue his progress.
And just take credit for it, am I right? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but he's done great work, everything I've seen, so he's going to be a hard act to follow.
Awesome. Well, we are very excited to have you on board, Scott. Thanks so much for coming to the city of Canby from Monmouth, and we're happy to have you on board.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So, hey, Rick, Tim Dale from City Council. Already talked to you privately about how incredibly precious you are to me, and so I just want to thank you for being one of my dearest friends and being in my life forever, and we'll see you soon.
Hey Rick, this is Calvin Lesueur, Economic Development and Tourism Coordinator. As you know, I just really want to say thank you for the gratitude you've expressed both to me and to all of city staff. It really means the world to me, and I believe to everyone else, so thank you so much for your support, and have a great retirement. I'll see you around.
See that last part, sorry, I didn't know.
And we'll see you around.
Hey, Rick. Jamie Stickle, Economic Development Director. I just wanted to thank you for all that you've done for the city and then for me personally. You've been a great mentor and a great friend, and I've learned so much from you, and I hope to follow in your shoes and make you proud.
Hi, I'm Bob Cambra. I live here in Cambie, so I'm a Cambie resident. And Rick is a very, very special person for every person in Cambie that I know of. He's a person who is, although he's a city administrator, he takes the time to really try to understand what your issue is. He may not always agree because he's got a lot of other things that he has to bring to the table with. But if you have a problem with your road, he would generally walk that road so he can really empathize and know what's going on. And that I appreciate. And he's always been a very nice man, but brilliant. And we will sadly miss him. And thank you.
Just say your name and whatever you'd like to say to him.
Okay. Hey, I'm Amira Stanley. I just want to say it was an honor to meet you the few times I had at the city council meeting. Both times that I was speaking, he approached me and showed me love, and I just appreciate it. So thank you.
Hey, this is Mallory Gwynn, Gwynn's Coffee House. Just want to say to Rick Robinson what a special, special man that he is. You know, he has a heart for business. He has a mind for business. He has a heart for the community, and really treasures the character of Cambie as he proceeded to grow it. And so I want to thank him so much for all that he's done. And looking forward to seeing him in his retirement on that motorcycle.
And thank you so much for hosting tonight. Great food and everything. You should do this for a living.
Hey, great idea, Ty.
Think about it.
This is Marilyn Nash. And Rick, we are going to miss you so very much. You know I'm the person on 3rd Street that always wants to get 3rd Street improved, and I'm the chicken and the egg lady. I love you so much. Take care of yourself.
This is Brett Smith, Chief of Police, and Rick, I just wanted to thank you for your service and the time that you've given the City of Cambie, and thank you for your commitment and support for the police department. It's much appreciated, and we wish you the best in your retirement years.
And Chief, I think a lot of people are appreciating having so many of your officers here, figuring that they're here to sort of bar the door and keep Rick from leaving. Is that right?
Well, he's been very good to the city. He's been very supportive for a lot of different departments, including the police department. We'll be sad to see him go.
Yeah. Yes. But you are going to allow him to go. I can't believe that.
Yeah. He is retiring. You don't want to ruin that opportunity there.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You
bet. I'm Sarah Spoon, a Cambie City Councilor, and Rick, you have been a huge asset to the city. I have not only had the pleasure of working beside you, but also being a citizen in the city where your fingerprints have left exciting things to come for decades. And you've always been someone who has looked out for the best interests of the city, but also set us up for success in the future. And I know that as every success that happens in the coming years, your fingerprints are going to be all over those too. But most importantly, as a leader, what I think I've learned from you and what I hope more leaders had in common was your ability to understand that a good leader gives credit and takes responsibility. And because of that, you've let our entire staff succeed, and our city is better off for it.
Tracy Height, former Cambie City Councilor. So Rick, I followed Rick into office a little bit. He arrived in October 5 years ago, and then I was sworn in that January. But it was kind of fun to follow that because I got to kind of see him as a mentor, and I piggybacked off of his knowledge and what he brought with him to Cambie. And my relationship with him, I think, grew more into a friendship too, and so I appreciated that a lot. I went out before him, but I'm glad to see that he gets to retire now and enjoy his family and his hobbies a bit. So, Rick, it was great to get to know you and to learn from your wisdom, and I wish you all the best.
Just say your name and your title and anything you'd like to say to Rick.
Oh, he knows who I am. Hi, Rick. This is Lainey. Remember I told you I'm not going to say goodbye because we're always going to be friends. You have my number. I have yours. I know where you live. And if not, I'll be down to the beach. Anyway, I hope you enjoy your retirement. And I hope Kathy enjoys having you home. Thanks so much for everything.
Okay, well, the night is coming to a close. We're here with the man of the hour himself, Rick Robinson. We've been wandering around talking to a lot of different people, and I don't know if you have anything that you'd like to say, but I had something that I just wanted to say to you to say goodbye, and so I was going to do that. I don't know if you remember when we first met.
I do.
But it was
you
in the...
You came in the office and we sat down and we had a nice conversation.
We did. We came down to City Hall. I had like a folder of like all these papers and stuff with this thing that we wanted to do with this podcast. And we were feeling like very nervous anyway, because we had this idea that seemed like such a good idea to us, to like do something that was like a newspaper but in a podcast format without overhead and stuff. And we're looking around like somebody else must be doing this, and we couldn't find anything. So we're like, there must be some like horrible flaw in this plan that we just can't see. But anyway, I had already set up this meeting with Rick Robinson, the city administrator. And at that point, if I had laid out this whole like probably rambling, terrible presentation like I'm rambling now to you, and you had said like, I don't know if Camby needs this, or I don't feel like this is a good idea, that we probably would have not gone forward with it, to be perfectly honest. But instead, you listened, and you had this like face that I couldn't really see like what you were thinking or whatnot. But then you're just like, that sounds great. How can the city help? And that was just like a revelation to me that maybe I'm not as crazy as I was afraid that I maybe was. And I really, really appreciate that from you, Rick, and just the confidence that you showed in us, and all the different support that you've given us throughout this past year, mostly in terms of just information and helping us with stories and guidance. And I have something for you here. You've gotten some good gifts tonight, but you haven't gotten
the
Camby Now Podcast stickers.
I appreciate that.
There you go. Like I said, there are a lot of people that have said some very nice, wonderful things about you. Is there anything that you'd like to say, or how you're feeling, or anything that you'd like to say to the community?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to the community for 5 incredible years. We've obviously had our challenges, but as a community, as an organization, as individuals within the community, we've had some incredible successes as well. It's always difficult in a community to grow and see change, and the level of support and participation and inclusiveness that this community has shown is just extraordinary. I feel incredibly blessed and honored to be a part of this whole process. It's meant a great deal to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, none of this would have been possible without the support of my wife, who's just an extraordinary human being, wonderful wife, wonderful individual, and I can't even describe how important she is in my life. The city council and the mayor and the support that they've offered, department heads that have actually been doing all the work and really deserve all the credit. I have shared with you, I think, more than once that I feel that the city administrator's job is to try to stay out of the way of the competent, qualified persons and let them do their job and let them be successful.
Yeah. Whereas my job is to try to get in the way as much as I possibly can.
And I hope I've been successful at that.
Well, a number of folks have kind of commented on, and when you have a job like this, it's not something where you can, come in clean and leave clean. You come in and there's projects that are ongoing that you sort of pick up, or maybe you change direction on or whatever, and you, however much you try to tie up loose ends, you always leave with some things that, you know, you got going and you trust to other folks to take on. So folks have kind of commented there are a number of projects that down the road, people who know you and have worked with you will say, you know, Rick Robinson's fingerprints are on that. That said, I feel like you probably want to leave your personal email and phone number if anyone has any complaints where they can, no, I'm just kidding.
Yes, call. call City Hall and ask for the new city administrator. Oh, okay. I'm sure that's, they can help you.
He'll forward the complaints. He'll make sure they get where they need to go. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Rick. Congratulations. Thank you for everything you've done for the city of Canby.
Well, thank you, Frankie. I appreciate the opportunity.
They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So in a world where we get the same generic superhero movie origin thing over and over, expecting something different to wow us, it would seem that a movie like Joker would be the most sane thing that we could experience. A movie that fights to ask a moral question, while presenting a profile on an individual that is just as likely to be sitting in the theaters themselves, as well as breaking them down on screen, all included in a divisive character that belongs on the pages of a comic book. This movie cuts hard at the realism that influences the comics that bore the character in the first place. Joker is an interesting movie. I can't say that I loved it, but I can't say anything really bad about it. Cinematically, it's captivating, and the acting from Joaquin Phoenix is absolutely flawless, in my opinion. And it helps to define the DC cinematic corner of this industry. Arthur Fleck is a down-on-his-luck guy that takes care of his mother, works to make people happy, and can't seem to connect with anyone. When he loses his job and ends up letting loose for the first time, he kills three young bankers who work for Thomas Wayne, father of Bruce Wayne. This sets off a revolution in the city of Gotham, with the poor pushing to change the status quo of the rich on top. This happens mostly in the background of the movie, while we focus more on Arthur himself. He deals with an understanding of himself in the psychosis, a new girlfriend, the truth of his mother, father, and his past, as well as working on his comedy routine. This all culminates in a final act that leaves you wondering where the line between reality and fantasy stands, and which side Arthur's on, and which side the audience is on. This story takes a few different ideas from the comic books and mashes them into something like a biopic film about the creation of a serial killer. In the comics, we push past the pages of the Joker, understanding and sometimes seeing his chaos and murderous deeds. But then we move on to the Batman or other villains, and the reality of Joker's existence fills into the background. It's motivation. It's just there for plot. This movie takes human life and creates much more depth and weight to every person involved. The Joker kills in this, but it's not so that Batman can catch him and put him in jail. The Joker kills because apathy leads to a descent into darkness. He kills because it's the only time he knows he even exists. Because he can. The lives that are lost are felt with a pitted stomach and a question of, is this the line that he had to cross, or will there be more before he finally accepts who he really is? A villain. To be fair, this movie does take its time. The entire last 15 minutes are what I expected for the majority of the entire movie. So there is a bit of time where you're asking yourself, when will this get good? When are we going to see Arthur's transformation? When will he start to cackle at his own humorless and dark jokes? You better get comfy, because it'll be a while. Sure, you get small appetizers along the way, but if you're going to see this movie as the Joker in all his pomp and frill, then you're going to walk away disappointed. This is a deep and, on many levels, disturbing movie. But if you're a fan of what comic books really try to achieve with storytelling, then I think you'll enjoy this film. If you're just looking for Batman to bash in another villain's face, then I don't think that this film will satiate your thirst for vengeance.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved them 14 grand in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
Huge thank you as well to our supporters on Patreon. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we seriously love. For information on how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, a patron of the Canby Now podcast, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.